Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den, broadcast live from the WTBQ Studios in Warwick, New York. If you are hearing my voice, you are listening on 93.5 FM, 1110 AM, or the replay on Davin Rosenblatt's Facebook page. You can join in on the controlled chaos by calling 845-651-1110, emailing us at sidesplitting@yahoo.com, or IMing us on Davin Rosenblatt's Facebook page. I'm your host, Davin Rosenblatt, and tonight joining me in the den is the very funny comedian Joe Curry.
Good evening.
Working the board for the first part of the show is Richard Ball, but I'm sure Rich will sneak out of here as soon as he... You staying? No, Rich is leaving.
I don't sneak out. I just walk out the door.
Just walk out. There's no sneaking.
Just flip us the bird.
He flips us the bird, whips up his shirt, and he's gone. So then later on, we'll have the boss man. We can't keep one board person for a whole show, Joe. They got to split duties to do this mayhem. So we'll have Frank later. We have Rich now. How you doing, Joe?
I'm good. Lousy ride up here, though.
Lousy ride up here?
It's awful. Look, if you're going to do 65, get out of the left lane, all right? Let us maniacs do what we need to do. This should be you get an old Plymouth, and you weld I-beams on it, and you just ram all those people out of the road.
You know what you need? Radar detector. Then you could just weave in and out right along the shoulder, never get caught.
Really?
Well, you know, now I have a radar detector now, and here's my issue now with the radar detector. It's made me a skosh more impatient, because now when people are going below the speed limit, my thought is, people, get the hell out of the way, pull over to the side, let me lead, we can all speed.
Because I got a radar detector. I've got a radar detector, let me lead, get out of my way.
I should have a bumper sticker that says that.
That's true.
Well, I'm very excited to be here. There's so many things I want to talk about tonight, but we are not going to talk about a lot of those things tonight, because we got a big show for you. The second half of the show, we are going to be doing a countdown of the worst fathers of 2011, because we got Father's Day coming up, and, you know, people like to celebrate all the great dads, and, you know, we had great dads, we all know great dads, but not every dad is created equal. So I think sometimes we need to shine the light on the less glamorous dads. Frank has just walked into the room. Now, I do have to tell the radio listening audience, there was a breakthrough yesterday morning. I did the I did Frank's show, and Frank actually spoke to me. Frank does not usually speak to me during this show, but Frank actually spoke to me.
Maybe you have to go on his show for him to even get a word in edgewise.
Yeah. Frank will not acknowledge me during this show, but when I'm on his show, he's like, well, he's already in there. I guess I'm going to have to say something to him.
I'm surprised it wasn't like dead air and just him nodding and just you talking.
Well, Frank was very pleased because on one radio show, I got us a complaint. I got us a complaint on the morning show because we were making fun of somebody who died in a mattress bagging incident, and their name was DePoo.
DePoo? A mattress? What is that?
I don't know. Apparently, they're like in a mattress company, and like when you buy the Sealy Posturepedic, now you're going to get Mr. DePoo with them attached. apparently Widow DePoo, or a Little DePoo.
The Widow Lady DePoo.
Called in when we went commercial, and she thought that was going to stop me.
Your husband got killed in a mattress. Stop it.
It wasn't Widow DePoo. I don't know who it was. But so if it was Widow DePoo, I would have been...
Probably the one that got the mattress.
Yeah. This mattress has a blood stain and it's lumpy. What is the meaning of this? So she thought that we were going to give a sincere apology. Clearly, she doesn't listen to this show.
She wants a sincere apology.
So we got into a great discussion. Frank, myself, Rob McLean, and Zach, who works the Wednesday morning shows, just a great discussion on the sissification of the country, which I really wanted to get into tonight. But like I said, we have more pressing business. The Father's Day thing, that's going to be fun. But something that I'm very excited about, this has been in talks for several weeks. I'm glad he could be here tonight.
Absolutely.
A buddy of mine who I've not seen in a long time, I saw him when he used to do open mics. I used to put together open mics at a place called Hansel's in Oakland, New Jersey. And I always remember him being a very hard worker. And he's just the epitome of a Jersey guy. But a lot of the comedians remember him from was he has a very pretty sister who's getting married. We wish her congratulations. But she worked at Hooters. Frank's excited about that.
He woke up on that one, yeah.
And she would bring all her Hooter waitress girlfriends. So all the other comedians would ask me, when's this guy going to be here? But that's not why I'm excited tonight.
I miss those shows.
Yeah, you had a nervous breakdown at that place.
Well, but if I knew Hooters waitresses were going to be back then.
More important than having an attractive waitress and being a young aspiring comic, this man is a U.S. American hero. He has just gotten back from a tour of Afghanistan. So we welcome Joe Padula into the studio. Hello, Joe.
Hey, guys. How you doing? All right.
It is good to see you. Thank you.
It's an honor to have you here.
You know, we were talking, Joe Curry and myself were talking a couple days ago about perhaps our brethren in the United States, your brethren in the United States, do not sacrifice enough. Only a small a group of the population does sacrifice, people like yourselves who volunteer for the Army. And I think a lot of people are out of touch, and I feel a lot of people do not know what the average soldier goes through. We hear the news briefings from the generals and the admirals, but unless you know a soldier, you probably don't get to find out what's really going on there. So we are thrilled that you, Joe Padula, can shed some light on the real story about Afghanistan. We want to get a little background on you, your personal, where you are, where you've been, and then branch it out. Does that sound cool?
Absolutely, Devin. Absolutely.
All right. Let's start it out with the... It's an interview.
I can see that. It's an interview.
Joe Padula is in his fatigues because he knew there was a lot of woods up here. He wanted to sneak up on a deer just to keep it fresh. But he's in full uniform. Do you have a camera with you, Joe Curry?
No.
Me neither. Good. We'll have to do something with the camera phone. Frank, do you have a camera?
Do I have a camera?
Really, Frank? I had to pause 10 seconds for you to get on the microphone.
Do I have a camera?
Oh, that's awesome.
Do you have a brownie? Why?
Do you have a brownie?
No, I actually have a digital camera, sure.
Can we take pictures afterwards?
Whatever you'd like to do.
Put it up on the TVQ website?
Yeah, we could dig that up, sure.
That'd be great.
Hide it out back?
It's on a mattress in the back room over there.
Mr. Depew died with it. Yeah. It was the last picture he took, a mattress coming at him.
By the way, we actually had two people call up that morning with complaints, but the one that really got them was when you had this vision of somebody taking a mattress home on the top of their car with this guy on top of the mattress sort of stuck on there. And I think that sort of...
Really? That pushed somebody over the edge?
I think that pushed him right over the edge.
Really?
Yeah, I think that was it.
Apparently they don't like bed humor. As Pat Adler, older, I don't remember her name, she's a Facebook friend, she listens to a lot of radio, she read the story and she goes, well, now he's taking the best dirt nap ever.
Ouch.
Yeah. Really? They were really upset about that?
Well, no, they were, you know, yeah, slightly, you know.
Look,
who knows?
I got somebody that got killed in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. Are we even now, okay? He hit the wrong button.
Listen, my bed is full of bed bugs. Those bugs are getting back for you people. It's horrible. Mm. All right, anyway. Frank.
Okay, but I do have a camera, so we could, take whatever you want. You know?
Frank, I'm very sorry I offended only two people.
Well, that's all right.
Next time I hope to offend double digits.
Well, the listenership was up, actually, I guess, maybe, you know. So it's going down. Going down by the minute.
Nice. That's what we do. We like to end radio stations. All right. So let's get back to Joe Padula. Joe Padula, what branch of the service are you in?
I'm in the Army. I'm a sergeant in the United States Army with the 101st Airborne Division.
He's an airborne guy. Those are the guys that take no prisoners. Those guys are pretty bit hardcore.
Stand in the door. Yeah.
How long you been in, Joe?
My first day in was September 21st, 2008. So about 2.5 years now.
So you're pretty new.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Still a little wet behind the ears. You know.
What made you decide to join?
It was my time. You know.
It was your time?
Yeah, absolutely. It was my time to join the... I believe everyone should serve in some way, some form. It doesn't have to be in uniform.
Mm-hmm.
But for me... For me to talk the talk and walk the walk. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
You just didn't
want
to come back to Hansel's in Oakland to do any more bad mics.
Oh,
anymore.
Let me tell you, you know, I missed the warm beers at Hansel's. That day.
Yes, it's a very British establishment.
And the ambiance, too.
And the broken chair.
So you just felt it was your time?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, where are you stationed stateside?
Okay, our base is at Fort Campbell, Kentucky.
I've been there. Mm-hmm.
Home of the 101st, which is a very, very proud unit, very hardcore unit. You know, this is these are the guys that jumped into Normandy
mm-hmm.
on D-Day. You know,
mm-hmm.
these are the guys that's been through Vietnam. These are the guys that's been through Desert Storm, you know, at the front lines at every battle. And we did the same here in Afghanistan.
Mm.
That's for sure.
But Kentucky, you couldn't have been thrilled. You're a Jersey guy.
Let me tell you, you know, what's the word? A fish out of water, you know what I mean? And I was suffocating, absolutely.
Flopping around like that. But what was that, the real thing? What was that video? Faith No More.
Oh, Faith No More, like the fish in the fish flopping around.
Yeah, except I had overalls.
Wow, yeah. No place to get a good slice there, huh?
So you're still in. You're still in now.
Yeah, absolutely. Still serving. You know, I'm on my leave since we just got back. You know, my unit. We just got back from Afghanistan, and
mm-hmm.
I'm still getting the dust out of my lungs for crying out loud. But now we're given 30 days leave time once we get back, and this is our time to spend with our families and hang out. And actually, I was just at a school, a couple different schools recently, saying thank you. They sent us a whole bunch of stuff, letters, candies, the whole
bit,
which was great. And so to get to meet these people face-to-face and go in uniform, it made their day, made my day.
So now you're off for 30 days.
Right.
Then you go back to Fort Campbell.
Absolutely.
How long are you in Fort Campbell for?
Okay, let's see. We technically are on orders, I believe, to go back to Afghanistan. We don't know when, but we go back and we start training up and getting ready for the next mission.
So how long now? Once you go back to Afghanistan, how long are you in country to get another leave?
We do 1 year deployments.
Okay.
While in Afghanistan, which is it's a long year.
That is really now. Have you ever been extended? Because I know they've extended some.
No, absolutely not. From my understanding, the extensions are no longer happening.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Great. That's
no
good.
Doubt.
That's something that this president has accomplished. We take that. That's good.
Yeah, that's good.
I know you hated it. You hated to agree with me on that.
No, I don't hate to agree with you on that. That these people are not having extensions. No.
No, I mean that Obama did something.
I don't care if the Easter Bunny took care of that. I don't care.
He actually did.
Gave everybody.
So you've been in Afghanistan. Is that we have a phone call? Oh, is it Mrs. DePoo? I'm sorry. All right, caller. Hello. Really? The boss can't even work the phone. You know how many bored guys I go through? The boss can't even work. Listen, if you'd like to call in at 845-651-1110, please send a smoke signal or for Joe Padula, Morse code. We have a better chance of translating that. All right, well, I'll call it. If you'd like, please call back. If you'd like to talk to Joe Padula, ask him a question or yell at me for making fun of people that lose their lives by mattresses.
How hard is it when you get back, like on leave, getting acclimated to civilian life from, you know, being in theater?
Joe, that's a great question, man. Let me tell you. You know, they got a process. It's called redeployment processing. And it's about 8 days of pretty much we go through courses and classes, you know, to make sure our mind is straight and pretty good to go. Because, you know, it's tough out there. And keeping a good mind while back here in the States is a necessity.
Have your loved ones noticed the difference in you since you've been back?
Yeah, absolutely. I smoke more cigars.
Smoke more cigars?
Yeah, they
deserve it.
Oh, forget about it.
But I mean, just about the way you handle everyday life, has it made you stronger? Has it made you more skittish? I mean, what are some of the differences?
I believe it's instilled a lot more confidence in me.
Sure.
That's for sure. No doubt about it. And that's what, especially at the 101st in the Army, you know, they want you to have confidence. You know, they set you up for success. You know?
So you've been on leave before and you've been redeployed before.
Let's see, I've been on leave before, absolutely, you know, and leave time has always been so good to me, but this leave time has been a little bit more special.
Why is that?
That's for sure.
Because he's on with us?
Yeah,
we make dreams come true, Joe. That's what we do over here. You're welcome, Joe Padula. You're welcome for all that I and Joe Curry and WTBQ do for you.
That's right. And the guy that hangs up the phone, absolutely. That's right.
No Joe Padula, that's not the soldier I wanted. I thought it was G.I. Joe.
I love it.
Goodness gracious.
Oh, man.
So what's the countdown like? Because, you know, you got the 8 days when they're like making sure everything's cool with you.
Absolutely.
Emotionally, physically, and everything. You're home with your family. I know you got a wedding coming up for your sister. What's the countdown like when you have to go back? Are you looking forward to it? Or
great question, Devin. Let me tell you, you know, anxiety is always there. You know, very anxious to embrace the people that you haven't seen for such a long time. And, of course, to shake hands and sit down and have a cup of coffee. My father, you know, that was a big thing for
me. How proud is he?
Oh, let me tell you. The guy wouldn't stop sending me packages, for crying out loud.
Well, that's great.
Oh, yeah, it was great until the mail guy goes, hey, Padula, take it easy.
Listen, it was either he sent you packages or Anthony Weiner sent you packages. You did okay.
Thank God. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Dad. Signed it, Daddy Weiner. Anyway.
Oh, man.
So you're glad to be home and everything.
Right.
I mean, so your parents got to be excited for you. What now, when you're overseas, what's your average day like?
Okay, let's see. Here's a typical day of a U.S. soldier in a high-speed unit. You know, your missions. You know, going out into the zone where the enemy is, and making sure that they're not around much longer.
And for those that don't know, your theater has been Afghanistan.
Absolutely. Southern Afghanistan, Kandahar.
Okay.
You know, right.
So what was it? What was that area like before you got there?
All right. Let me see. How can I put this in a picture? All right. If you can picture the Old Testament, for crying out loud, you know, it's that.
A lot of Jews running around in southern Afghanistan.
I don't know nothing.
Some idols. And then Padula walked in with the tablets and it was all good.
There you go. Here's 10 of them.
So just not a lot of infrastructure?
No. You're talking like no electricity. You're talking about houses made of the earth, dirt, you know, and water is so rare, very dry. Where we were was at the bottom of a mountain in the beginning of a desert. Okay.
Sounds lovely.
Oh, it was terrible. I mean, dust flying everywhere. You're talking about days that would reach 133 degrees in temperature.
So now what happens? That you guys get dropped in on a plane? I mean, because how does a little fob or base, how does that get built?
Oh, awesome. Yes, absolutely. Okay, here's what we did. All right. We flew from Fort Campbell, Kentucky, made a couple different stops in Europe, which was great because, you know...
You want to see the sights.
Oh, you know, and the bathroom smelled like urine. It was unbelievable.
Really, I didn't think Europe was going to be the problem on this trip.
Oh, and usually that's what you find there.
and from there, we fly into a large air base called Kandahar Airfield, which is the big base down in Kandahar. And from there, you know, that's where we got ready, you know, the whole planning and everything. And then from there, we would take helicopters.
What type of helicopters you got going on?
We flew in on Chinooks.
Okay.
Which are
the
large,
bigger ones.
Yeah,
those dual rotor. The dual rotor.
Absolutely.
Dual rotor, long like a hot dog, for those who don't know.
Yeah, bada bing. And then we also flew in on a lot of Blackhawks also, you know, which is a very fast bird. You know,
yeah. And it's got a lot of guns on
absolutely,
it.
Absolutely.
That's what I flew
well
when
protected.
I was over.
Yeah.
Not when I was doing what you were doing.
No, no.
When I was telling little jokes, that's what they flew us in over. But
which
yeah.
is needed over there, that's for sure. And appreciate what you guys do by going over there.
Yeah, I think I made it worse for them.
I love it. And so we would, what we call, air assault into an area.
Mm-hmm.
And right from there, you know, start building up.
So now what happens? I mean, do you guys have the intelligence to know what's there before you land? Because you got to stake out, I'm assuming, like a perimeter.
Right.
To start, before you start building the infrastructure.
Absolutely. And that's where these great teams, civil affairs teams and human intelligence teams, we have probably some of the best with the 101st because they definitely send us the best over there.
Yeah, I noticed that. And if you folks want to check out his Facebook page, they have great videos of that, the videos that you do. And one of them entailed, you have drones that go out. That go out and they survey what you fellas can't see. You folks can't see. And how is that? Is that very helpful? Does it make a big difference when you're out there?
Thank God for technology. Yeah, absolutely. You know, just like what Joe was talking about, these UAVs, these drones that we have flying, the eye in the sky, you know, is what we called them. And they would not only provide, you know, intel for us, but also cover for us, you know, while on patrol, you know, because enemy, you know, Taliban and Al-Qaeda and all the insurgents, they don't like these drones, you know.
Right.
They can't stand them, you know, because...
That means they're good.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, the place to hide.
Absolutely. And they would provide, like an extra soldier right with us.
Yeah. But you always need the air cover.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Without air, there's a problem.
Mm. Now, did you go out on these missions?
Absolutely.
You did? What was your scariest moment?
Absolutely. Let's see. Since I was pretty much surrounded by, like, awesome people, you know?
You're talking about your fellow soldiers.
Absolutely.
I didn't think you were talking about the Taliban.
You know, my brothers and sisters in arms, you know, very lucky. And they also gave me more confidence while out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so...
So you're new out there.
Yeah.
And you were with a lot of people who had been in for longer than you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you were lucky that you could look to these people for guidance, and they take you under their wing.
Bada bing. And that's exactly what they did.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what they did. But, you know, the many firefights, of course, you know, and the place was... Just IEDs everywhere. You know, this was the birthplace of the Taliban where we were at. The Zari, Maywan, Panjway, and Argandab districts. You know, this was where it all started for Taliban.
So when you get in there, it's still a stronghold. And for some reason, you got in. When did you say you got in? 2008?
No, we landed in there in 2010.
So in 2010.
May of 2010.
So we've been in Afghanistan since the end of 2001. And it's still 2010. We had not penetrated this area.
This was a tough hard determined enemy's area.
Okay.
Absolutely. You know, they've tried to extend north, and they were pushed back, and this was their hub. Mm-hmm. You know, and they did not want to lose this ground. We were the first U.S. brigade mm-hmm. to be put into that area. You know,
so I'm guessing this has been since day one. This has been a pretty strong objective of the U.S. military to get to where you are right now.
Absolutely.
Because I guess you guys are feeling if you can take this area, you're kind of ripping out the heart and soul of the Taliban.
Right. It was appointed. You know, when the surge first started, you know, it came down. I don't want to mention names, but people go to who can we send to Kandahar? You know, who could we send to these districts where the enemy is so emboldened and strong? And they said our brigade, the strike brigade.
Were you nervous when you found out what your mission was? I mean, you're a new guy,
right?
I mean, I know you felt like you had the calling, but are you nervous?
This was I needed to do it. You know, 9/11. Mm-hmm. Okay, we were two blocks down doing a job. You know, and I knew this day was going to come. And so as soon as I heard that word, I go, all right.
Did you tell your loved ones where you were, what your mission was?
Yeah, you know, I have a pretty good relation with my family, you know, mm-hmm. and giving them information, especially my father. You know, he was in Vietnam. You know, he was in the Air Force, though, as they raised my eyebrow.
Yeah, the Air Force, those wimps.
No, let me tell you, you know, I worked a lot with the branches, the Air Force, mm-hmm. the Coast Guard, you know, the Navy, and a lot with the Marines and these guys and gals over there, too. Much respect, absolutely. Mm. But getting back to, talking with the family, you know, they need to know some information. Mm-hmm. They have to, you know, or right. else the rumors just start conjuring up and mm-hmm. they think the worst.
Yes.
Yeah. And so filling them in and making sure that they understand, you know, what they need to understand. I mean, you can't tell them everything, you know, of course, you know, because then they over.
Right. Well, if they had a radio show, then you would reveal everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, the IEDs, is that from what you hear in the news, that right. must be the scariest part, because this is like a new type of warfare that we're battling.
Absolutely.
And how bad is when you go into a new area, I'm sure that you're looking out every possible place for where these things could be hit. Is there an advance team that goes in there and scouts that out? Or
okay, the way of handling IEDs, especially in southern Afghanistan, because they're everywhere. Okay, most of our losses were from IEDs, mm-hmm. and you know we had a lot of fallen soldiers too, and with that we had a lot of injuries too, a lot of amputations. Mm-hmm. You know, these IEDs, improvised explosive devices, for those who don't know, is a tough subject to battle, but yeah, we had to, you know, in order for us to have success where we were, we had to battle IEDs along with insurgents fighting, you know, raising their weapons against us. So the way we go about that is multiple different ways. You know, we were the biggest, mm-hmm. and starting up with the military working dogs. I mean, these dogs were great. Mm-hmm. Okay, we would have these trained canines with their noses, and they would smell the powder. Okay, mm-hmm. and these guys and the dogs, thank God, because we would be on.
So
patrol.
The dogs are on the front line.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And, sorry.
And as soon as they would smell it, you know, they would give their tell, you know, to their dog handler. Mm-hmm. The dog handler would be like, "Whoa, take it easy." All right.
So is it like the Hurt Locker? I mean, I know it's a different theater, but is it kind of like that?
I'll tell you what, the Hurt Locker, I saw it once and I don't remember it.
Okay, you know? Good. Yeah. Nothing like it. Don't go see the Hurt Locker.
No.
Does not deserve an Academy Award, a bunch of garbage. You heard it here from Joe Padula.
I don't know nothing.
Now, to the people, because like I said, basically we're fighting a different type of war. To the people that think, well, you know, I don't know why this war is taking so long, you know, so much. Can you explain to that person that's thinking that why things are not as going quickly as it does in the movies, you know, that we're fighting a different type of war?
Because they don't have Stallone.
They don't have Stallone.
We did.
You know, it explain to people, you know, why it's not this whip, you know,
okay.
wham, bam, thank you, ma'am thing.
There's a misunderstanding. I love it.
Really? Describe a war like a one-night stand, Curry? Really? What, you didn't leave a T-shirt for the Taliban when you left?
I love it. I just got a little turned on. Unbelievable.
Curry has an effect on people. You're not the first one to sit in that seat.
Go.
Alex, the first genderless baby, was kind of turned on a couple of weeks ago, too.
Oh, no. I thought it stunk. But the people, majority of the people don't understand, and I really hope they get this. We're fighting a really tough enemy, mm-hmm. okay? This isn't a walk in the park, you know? These guys are evil, you know? They're very power hungry, and not only do they want to defeat us, they want to defeat the Afghan people. And so So fighting them, it's they're not going to give up. They're not just going to lay their arms down and be like, oh, okay, you win. You know, you overmatch us. We'll give up. Because these guys, they're trained right from their start, from their birth, by their bullies. You know, die to the death. Mm. Yeah.
And you mentioned also win over the Afghan people. Now, I noticed that in the videos that you folks are doing pretty amazing stuff over there. Number one, you're setting up schools to get rid of illiteracy.
Absolutely. Oh, and the school is so important. Mm. Education. Mm-hmm. You know, the Afghan people, this is what they've been deprived of. You know, Taliban and insurgents have deprived them of education because they know the power of it. You know, they will understand that, you know, if these people get smart and get wise, that they won't stand for their bulliness, mm-hmm. you know, as a lesser word. But yeah, the school is a big push for us.
And also showing them farming techniques. I noticed that. You're showing them farming tech with the USDA.
Absolutely.
Which is really good, too.
Here's what we're going to do. You're listening to Davin's Den on WTBQ. What we're going to do is we're going to take a short break. We're going to keep Joe Padula with us for a little bit longer. If we don't get to the Father's Day thing today, there's always next Father's Day. But we're having a great conversation with Joe Padula. Listen to these commercials. Come right back. We've got more good stuff. My name is Davin Rosenblatt of the Davin and Cisco Show. Besides being the host of a radio show, I am a professional stand-up comedian and owner of the ever-growing entertainment company Sidesplitting Productions. As a performer, I have appeared on Comedy Central and performed several tours overseas for our troops. As a company, for over a decade, Sidesplitting Productions has been providing the very best in live stand-up comedy, murder mystery shows, DJs, and celebrity impersonators across the nation. Our entertainers are perfect for restaurants, special family events, and making that corporate event or party a stunning success. For a free consultation and quote, call me anytime at 845-986-7806. That's 845-986-7806. Or check us out on the web at sidesplittingproductions.com. That's SIDESPLITTINGPRODUCTIONS.com. Sidesplittingproductions.com.
I can't wait for nighttime. I am going to GW's, the local place for the nightlife. GW's has so much to do. I think I'll start off with a GW's American Burger. Or maybe I'll get some of their famous wings. Maybe I should just wait till I get there and look at their menu full of all the great food. I can't wait to have one of those tasty beverages, and I'm definitely going to watch the game there. And then maybe I'll go play some pool. Then I'm going to dance all night long to one of their awesome DJs or great rock bands. So much to do, and it's all in Chester, New York at the ShopRite Center. If you want to live the nightlife, you should definitely come to GW's and check them out at GW's Tavern on Facebook, or just give them a call at 845-469-FOOD. GW's Nightlife is the right life.
Hi, this is Dr. Nick Belasco, host of the St. Anthony Community Hospital Roundtable, heard every second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 8 a.m. Tune in to hear about the latest in health news from me and my guests here on WTBQ.
Hi, this is John Tesh. Tune in for great music and intelligence for your life Monday through Saturday starting at 4 p.m. as we assemble the tips, the facts, and the news you need to be happier, healthier, more lovable, and more fun to be around on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
Success Martial Arts, the latest self-defense concept to come to Orange County. They combine classical martial arts training with a family fun environment custom tailored for children, teens, and adults. Success Martial Arts has two convenient locations on Route 32 North in the town of Woodbury and its newest location in the Chester Mall in the village of Chester. Please call today for more information, 845-469-1716, or visit their website at www.smacenters.com.
Sometimes you just want to go to a restaurant that can satisfy the cravings of every member of your family. Fortunately, such a place exists right here in Chester, New York. At the Chester Diner, you can order breakfast anytime, or treat yourself to a 16-ounce porterhouse steak for only $13.99. They have plenty of inspired entrees, refreshing salads, scrumptious desserts, and everything in between. And don't worry, they have plenty of fun choices for the kids off their children's menu. With hours from 6 in the morning till 11 o'clock at night, any time of the day is a good time at the Chester Diner. Visit the Chester Diner at 65 Brookside Avenue in Chester, New York. Call them at 845-469-4488. For the largest variety of the best food, the Chester Diner is your place. And of course, you can get it to go.
WTBQ Weather. We'll have plenty of clouds tonight with showers and even some thunderstorms developing later on. Now, those scattered showers and storms will continue through the day Friday with a couple of dry periods as highs reach the mid to upper 70s. Those showers end Friday night as lows drop down to the upper 50s and looking warmer on Saturday with partly sunny skies with a chance of a thunderstorm late in the day as highs reach near 85. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Mike Mahalik.
And we are back. You are listening to Davin's Den on WTBQ 93.5 FM, 1110 AM. If you want to join in the conversation, we're going to attempt to get the phones working. 845-651-1110 in studio with me, as usual, Joe Curry. And tonight we have a special treat. We're only going to do the first half of the show with him, but it's so interesting and actually so important. We have Joe Padula, sergeant in the U.S. Army, who is back from Afghanistan, going to be heading back there in a few weeks. And Joe Padula is telling us the real story of what's going on there. And I just think this is so important for our listeners and actually all Americans to know about that. We're going to keep on going with this. Now, we were talking about scary moments and everything. We were talking about the IEDs and the IOUs and the ABCs and the 123s. I got to ask you, how many people that you know personally that you were on base, how many people did you lose?
All right. Let me tell you, we lost a lot. Yeah, we lost a lot. We lost a total of 66 from our unit.
People that you knew.
Absolutely, yeah. People that I worked with.
How do you handle something like that?
It's tough, you know. It's tough, especially going to each memorial, you know. You know, it's important to show not only the you know, the fellow soldiers that, listen, you will be honored, okay? You'll be held in the highest regard. But, yeah, it's not easy on the mind. But as long as we continue to do them proud, it's...
But I mean, listen, you got to be grieving. What do? You just lose yourself in your work?
Okay. Our first loss was my boss.
Wow.
Yeah, my boss, Staff Sergeant James Hunter, a hero, mm-hmm. in my eyes. This is the man that from my start of my Army career, you know, took care of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, taught me everything that he knew, and which was great because he was so far advanced from most of the other people in the Army, you know, and Sergeant Hunter and I, we got along real well.
Mm-hmm.
So to lose him, you know,
he was like a big brother to you.
Especially number one. It's funny, he was younger, and yet I still looked up to him. You
sure.
Know? Yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, losing him, especially without having the de-censoring of being able to lose somebody else, and then, oh, man, we lost him. But, no, this one hurt. This one hurt bad, but...
How much time do they, when you lose somebody that close to you, how much time does the military give you to grieve before it's like, all right, Joe, back with it. We got a job to do here. Do you get time to grieve like you would here in the States?
Definitely not. We don't have time.
Right.
You know, it's missions don't stop. You know, mm-hmm. We will not forget. We will not dishonor. Mm-hmm. But we have to move on. You know, and our fallen. You know, they understand that, and they would want that too. Completion of mission.
Do you feel that that you've been able to come to terms with this loss? Because I'm looking at you now, and I hear your voice getting very choked up. We were laughing before, and we're going to laugh again. But I can hear.
No, absolutely.
That this is very close to your heart.
Yeah, this was the man. He was the man. And what really helped me out a couple weeks ago. You know, as soon as I got back, I went to go see his family.
Mm-hmm.
And that was awesome. These are strong people, okay? Mm-hmm. As much as I thought, oh, it hurts me,
mm-hmm.
man, for the family, the military families, these are the strongest people I've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I used to be with the Teamsters over there, and those were pretty strong people, but these are the strong people.
The common thread when I was overseas, because, you know, part of what we did, you know, we do our little showy show, but the cool part was talking to the men and the women of the military. And the thing that was conveyed to them, conveyed a lot to me, and I can completely understand, is it's actually harder on the families, your loved ones, your wife, your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters, than it is on the soldiers who are fighting the war.
Interesting.
That's what a lot of them can convey to me. Because when you guys are fighting the war, you guys are keeping busy, and this is what you're saying. You're not really having time to deal with your emotions, whether you're missing somebody or your sense of loss or anything. You guys are doing 14-hour shifts sometimes?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, sure, on a good day. You know?
Right, right.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just telling listen, I'm sure there's times when you're around the clock and everything. But mom and dad and your loved ones, I'm guessing, and this is what was conveyed to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, while you're losing yourself in their work, you're never off of their minds. They're always wondering about what their sons, daughters, daddies, moms are doing. I would just imagine it has to be so draining on them.
That's very well put, because I'm sure that's exactly how it is. And, and you know, I got to talk to more of the families and get a better feel on how they must have felt. But, it definitely cannot be easy, you know, to have that worry, to have that you know, we're not sure what's going on over there.
Because you can't tell them everything.
Right.
You know, you can tell them when everything's cool. And, you know, if you go on Joe Padula's Facebook page, you'll see there's a lot of great videos up there. And you'll see that they have computers and they have phones. It's not like World War II where, you know, you write a letter and you wait for it to get there a couple weeks later. I mean, you can keep in touch, but you can't keep in touch every day.
No, connectivity is a luxury while over there. That's for sure.
And that's not at every base either.
No.
There's guys like on mountains that they go for months without talking to people. Am I correct with that?
Absolutely. And that's trying to be fixed too, because understanding the importance of having connectivity back to the States, you know, from time to time is so needed, you know, because it keeps the mind right. And as we grow as an army, we're growing as that too. Yeah, that's happening more and more.
So let me ask you a question: when you have these bases and your internet connection loses, do you hear an Indian on the other line, or is that just in the States?
No, the.
See, I told you we'd make you laugh.
I'll tell you what, the connectivity goes in and out all the time over there, but the good people, the NWR, the moral welfare, and you know, these guys, they're very dedicated to doing their best to keep us in contact. Yeah, but the Indian voice. Yeah,
maybe, do you miss it, Joe? Come on, stay with us longer in the States, and you too can talk to an Indian when your internet collection goes out. Not that there's anything wrong with the Indians. Don't call in. I'm not saying anything bad about the Indians.
Absolutely not, yeah.
I don't want Mrs. DePoe, because it sounds like when I think of Mrs. DePoe, I think of Apu from The Simpsons.
Really?
Don't you have a slam bam thank you ma'am comment to make about another war?
A man died in a bed. Leave him alone.
We're fighting a war. Don't treat him like a one-night stand.
I love it.
Padula, you're on the wrong show. We're very insensitive.
I love it. It's good.
I'd like to get back to the thing, because a lot of times in the news, the news is so slanted. They don't show the good things that we're doing over there, how we're helping these people. From what I noticed, and like I said, go on Joe's Facebook and check out these videos. It's showing what these folks are doing over there. You mentioned your fallen comrades. I noticed that you had a fundraiser for the memorials for your fallen comrades.
Absolutely.
Which is a really good thing. I've also noted that you also, they had a shoe drive. Afghani kid, the winter was coming, and they noticed while you folks were out on patrol that these kids did not have shoes. So what they did was they had a shoe drive, and because of these folks, these kids had shoes during the winter.
Absolutely.
Do they appreciate that?
Oh, they loved it. They loved it.
So they're not flipping back when you guys are leaving town. You guys have, you've converted these people, or at least a significant amount of them, to realize that we're trying to help them.
The people of Afghanistan were already converting. You know, they don't like Taliban. They're forced to deal with them, you know, and they're forced to live under their oppression.
Well, let me ask you this. Did you ever have to deal with villages where after we had a drone strike that went wrong, where we killed civilians, did you have to go back into those villages and talk to the civilians? Did you ever have to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Bad things happen, you know. Things don't always go according to plan. You know, malfunctions in equipment, it happens, you know. And you know,
What's that like? How do you make it right for them? I know we offer, what, like $1,000? Is that what it is?
I don't know the exact money terms, but, you know, sometimes, you know, they understand. And then other times they like you said, you know, I need money for this. And then other times they go, listen, we don't want you messing with our affairs anymore. You know, so there's different options that happens when the unplanned things occur. Yeah.
Was there when you were in this area, because there was a lot of civilians around you?
A decent amount. Yeah.
Was there a lot of civilian casualties?
The good ones, you know, the Taliban ones.
Well, I don't call those casualties. I call those mission accomplished.
Okay, yeah.
I'm talking about average, ordinary, right. Your farmers, okay. Whatever.
All right. Most of the civilian casualties that occurred were from a lot of the kids, and these are the ones that really went over your hearts for these people, these small Afghan children. You know, they're just trying to, like, play and have a good time, and they step on an IED. You know?
So it wasn't even our munitions that did it.
Yeah,
it was stuff that the Taliban.
We take so many steps, you know, so mm-hmm. many precautions before we actually press the button on the artillery shell, you know. Mm-hmm. But the IEDs that are left over, mm-hmm. a lot of the Russian mines mm-hmm. that are still left over from the 80s are still there. That's how this place has really haven't been touched, you know. Mm-hmm. They got leftover commie mines, for crying out loud, you know. Pinkos.
Really? You're going to refight that war too, Padula? Oh, yeah. Are we invading the Soviet Union tomorrow?
I'll join that war.
Really, Curry? You're going to join the war?
Yes.
What are you going to contribute?
I got a car.
I got a car.
I have a Honda Element. Hop on in. We're going to war.
I love it.
I got to ask you a question. You guys use a lot of plywood. It looks like you attacked and raided a Home Depot. How much plywood do you guys use? Did you see the plywood? There's a lot of plywood.
A lot of money has been invested into the building of real structures, you know, because the way to live is not in a mud house, you know. Dirt houses, not the way to go. And, you know, I was talking about earlier how we work side by side with other branches of the armies, and one of the big builders were the Navy Seabees, the Naval Seabees. These guys, building machines, you know, they were big on building the bases. Mm. Great with wood.
Mm. Do you think
insert wiener joke there?
He knows how this show works. Do you think the average American understands what you guys are doing and what you guys are going through?
I would say the majority.
Okay.
The majority of America gets it.
Really? Yeah. I would not have guessed it, but you would know better than me.
Neither would I. I wouldn't get it either.
Speak up, Joe.
Yeah.
Moron. Anyway.
But speaking of speaking up, and
he's good at segues. He's hired. You're fired.
Those people need to speak up. You know, those people, the ones that were sending us the packages, you know, these are the ones that don't want thank yous. You know, they're very modest people, you know, and they just want to be left to themselves. But, yeah, they get it, and I really wish they would help us spread the word on the getting it process.
And we're making progress there.
Progress?
Because this is what you don't hear.
Well, no, Sarah Palin's touring around in a bus and Wiener's flashing himself. We need to hear about that stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the important
news. And
who
went on Dancing with the Stars and all this other stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Heinz Ward.
Lynn Swan. Oh, yeah, other stealer.
All right.
But the progress, like I mentioned earlier, how we got there, and it was just pretty much us and the Afghans, you know, and our great Afghan partners, the Afghan National Army.
Do you trust them, the Afghan National Army?
I do now.
Are they well trained?
They are now.
When you guys leave, can they hold it down?
When we got there, these were fresh faces right out of their basic training in mm-hmm. Afghanistan and sent right to the front lines, mm-hmm. you know? So, I tried to put myself in their shoes. Like, mm-hmm. say I came out of basic training mm-hmm. and put right to the front line. You know, it's asking a lot of these people, you know, but, you know, as long as they have good mentors, such mm-hmm. as our units, which took pride in training them. I mean, we understood that this is their country mm-hmm. and they're going to take over, you know, and so joint missions that we did, always a joint patrol, mm-hmm. you know, there was always Afghan faces and Afghan bodies and Afghan boots there.
Here's my concern, though, because, and again, we just get the story from our media, but you hear that our leaders do not trust Karzai, who's their leader, or their government. Ultimately, the Afghan army works for that government.
Right.
Do you feel we can trust them?
Absolutely. And I can back that up with, I've met their military leaders, you know. Mm-hmm. I've been in very good positions where I got to interview, mm-hmm. you know, such great leaders. You know, they have a Colonel Kandahari, and these are people born from the area, you know. Mm-hmm. They grew up with this, and they're very good leaders, you know.
Would you trust them with your life?
Would I trust the Colonel Kandahari with my life? Yes, I would.
Would you trust the people that are on patrol with you, these Afghanis that are on patrol with you? Because that's what you're doing. You're trusting them with your life.
I guess I would have to say yes, because we did.
Okay.
You know, we did. You know, mm-hmm. there they were leading the patrols. By the time we left, they were leading the patrols, you know. They turned into real warriors.
Now,
proud of them.
It's going to be a little bit of a hard question, but
absolutely.
In Vietnam,
right,
we have heard about all the atrocities that our soldiers did to the civilians and everything. I don't want any names or anything. Have you witnessed anything like this? Or is it, as you were saying, that there's just others that are, because it's all a professional army now, that the civilians are treated with the respect and they're not the intermingling and everything? What would you say to that?
You said the word professional, you know, and because of acts in the past, such focus has been done on the training and prevention of I would call stupidity, you know, and stuff that hurts the mission. And since we're so into mission complete, we definitely, I have not seen any atrocities, you know,
Have you seen any, not even atrocities, just relationships?
Relationships as in...
No, dating. You know, people fall in love. You know, if you're in a village, you're working with the village to get that village built and everything.
Oh, wow. Okay. No, definitely not. You're talking about with the Afghan? Yes.
Listen, I assume on the base between Americans, things happen. I understand.
I don't know. Rifles go off.
Is there a lot of that? Because, you know, I saw some nice looking... You know,
what do you want, a video? Joe, put that on the Facebook page.
It'll be up tonight, absolutely.
Is there a lot of that? Because it's a stressful situation. It's natural.
You know, I'll get to that in a minute. Right, but, getting back to the Afghan, like the Afghan women, such a different culture than ours, you know? And we respected that, you know? Their women are treated a lot different than ours. You know, as you know, they're all covered in their burqas, and the children are kind of like shadowed and sheltered, and don't hang out with them. But as we continue to earn their trust while over there by providing for them and sticking to our word, you know, which is key. You know, you could say, yeah, we'll be there for you, but you have to be there for
sure.
You know, like when Taliban comes into their house at night and they come to your base knocking your door, you have to go and say, see, we're here for you. Absolutely. You know, so we didn't really get to intermingle too much with the women, but over time, yeah, we made some good friends.
Good.
Absolutely. But nothing sexual. Yeah.
Damn it. We were trying to break a scoop.
But then getting back into the relations on base and everything, you know, this is another important subject to be talked about. You know, it's... There's so many different types of people in the army, and the female, you know, not too many people think that there's a lot of females in the army, but that's wrong, you know. The women have stepped up.
A lot of moms in the army,
The military mother, thank God they're on our side, you know, because these are some tough people.
Sure.
You know, and they're doing their mission as best as they can so they can return back to their child.
When I was overseas, again, different theater, but I was talking to moms, they had like 4-month-old kids at home. And I couldn't grasp it. I mean, talk about making a huge sacrifice for your country.
Right.
I mean, you know, as a mom and a kid, that's a huge sacrifice. Those are important bonding,
absolutely,
upbringing time, and they're doing it.
And 4 months, that's like the kid pops out and goes, I gotta go, you know?
That's what it is. I mean, and that's when I met her. I mean, who knows how long she'd been over there.
Right.
These are the sacrifices I don't think Americans are aware of. Let me ask, do you think the press is doing a good job of reporting what we're seeing?
Okay, the press, we had a lot of media inside our AO, which stands for Area of Operation, mainly because we did a huge mission. You know, you're talking about 8,000 to 12,000 troops moving at one time. You know, Operation Dragon Strike was the name of it, and this was huge. This was like the D-Day for Afghanistan, and so we, you know, there we were and pushing. So the media was begging to get in, of course. You know, the next D-Day, let's get in, let's cover this, and a lot of CBS, NBC, Fox News, NPR, you know, the Wall Street, they all embedded with us, and they all told their story, you know, and a lot of them told our story.
But, so you're okay with it?
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I wish they told our story more. You know, some of the guys they came
should
in,
be.
Yeah, some
let's,
of the guys.
Let's be honest. It's just not as exciting to report that we built a sewage plant or they have running water as it is to, you know, people died or Sarah Palin's running off in Philadelphia. The American public just. Unfortunately,
but it's
not
a shame that they don't care about this stuff. This is very important.
I think that I don't want to get off on the press, but the press's master is the ratings. The soldier's master is to carry out their mission. It's two different things, unfortunately, a lot of times.
And it is an unfortunate thing.
Now that we've gotten Bin Laden, do you think we should pull out of Afghanistan? Is it time to go home?
Okay, the Bin Laden. thank God he's gone. Mm-hmm. You know, this guy was a loser. Okay, the
real so, such harsh words for the number one terrorist, a loser. We are not going drinking for beers after this, Mister.
No way, no way. And those Naval SEALs, Team 6, I believe it was.
SEAL Team 6.
Yeah. Oh man, great. They actually they were flown on our birds, the 101st birds. So that was great. And
wow.
Yeah, we got to meet the president because of that. And
that's got
to
be an honor.
Yeah, that was.
You met the president?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And yeah, it was. Yeah, he did a good job. He said the right words. It was good. Yeah, absolutely.
He did. Well, if you had the presidency, I'm guessing you didn't have a one-on-one.
Oh, no. No, we didn't have a locked room.
But if you did have a one-on-one with President Obama.
Right.
And you had his ear, and you could tell him anything, you know, nothing's going to be held against you. What would you tell him?
All right. I would stick to my pay grade, you know, and I would be, sir, of course, you know, appreciate your, you know, your support, the surge and everything, but continue to let the generals run the army side. Absolutely.
Do you think he's doing a good job of that?
Of letting the generals?
Letting the military people do the military stuff. And
absolutely. I mean, Petraeus, genius. Got to meet him many times.
So you're happy with the hierarchy?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
You were happy with the decision for the surge?
Absolutely.
Are you happy that now the talk is to start bringing home the troops? Because that was the promise, and now it's just a matter of how many we're going to bring home. Are you happy with that decision?
The Army is entering a stage of cutting back. Mm-hmm. You know, we've met recruitment goals, you know, exceeded recruitment goals, and it's time for a cutback, and with that cutback, I believe is going to be, I wouldn't say a withdrawal, but... a non-surge of troops into Afghanistan.
We got to get out of here in a second.
Would that jeopardize safety there, or would...
Let's see. Safety would... as long as you send in units that can work and train Afghan National Army.
If... this is going to be the last question for me, because we got to wrap it up, unfortunately. I could do this for hours with Joe Padula. If you had to do it all over again, would you do it all over again?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely. Without pause.
Joe Curry, anything? All right. Well, what is the best way for the average listener listening at home, if they want to contribute to the war cause but don't want to join the military? What's the best way that they can do that? Make their well wishes and thoughts go out to people like yourself. What's the best way to do that?
Well, if they can always contact me, and then from there, one-on-one relations is the best way for me to distribute information.
What's the best way to contact you?
Through the Facebook. Yeah, absolutely. Joe Padula on the Facebook.
Spell it out.
Padula. Mm-hmm. And you'll see my picture. I'm smoking a cigar in Afghanistan. You know, it was a good
one. Sure, Cuba was busy. Why not do it in Afghanistan?
I'll tell you what, real cigars over there, but fake beers. Unbelievable.
Well, you can't have real alcohol in country, right?
Yeah, no, definitely not. Oh, yeah. Just remember, no beers. Don't send any of those.
Yeah, you know, these guys are fighting a war, but they're doing it sober.
Absolutely. Yeah, contact me on Facebook, and you can check out the Our Brigade Facebook page. You know, go to your Facebook in the search box. You type in 2ND Brigade Strike, okay? And you'll see our unit's crest. You click on that. You press like. And, yeah, you can see all the great videos, and we can keep in contact.
Joe's got a lot of great videos up there. Joe Padula, we thank you. For coming in and sharing this, and we thank you for doing what you do for our country.
And please check out Joe's Facebook page, please.
One more time, Joe. What is it?
All right, you go to your brigade Facebook page. You go to the search box and you type in 2ND Brigade Strike. That's 2nd Brigade Strike, okay? Mm-hmm. And you'll see the unit's crest. You'll click like, and then you'll check out all the videos and all the pictures and all the comments.
Excellent. Make sure you check that out, people. Joe Curry, where are you going to be this weekend?
I am going to be mumbling words like I did on this show at Governor's Comedy Club tomorrow night, 9 o'clock show, 516-731-3358 for reservations.
To our listeners, I'm sorry that we did not get to the countdown, but I think that this was much more important. We'll do the countdown.
Absolutely was.
Some other time. That'll be a bunch of laughs. I would like to say happy Father's Day to all the dads, but especially to my dad. Dad, I love you. And to my father-in-law, Lee, I love you too. You guys are great dads. And now just a special thanks to our sponsors who make this possible. I'd like to welcome our newest sponsor, Chester Diner in Chester, New York. Actually, this week I've personally eaten there twice. I recommend the fried flounder. Very good. Mm-hmm. And my daughter, Skylar, recommends the chicken noodle soup. But see, what's great, Padula's a Jersey guy like myself.
Absolutely.
It's great to have like a real Jersey-type diner around here. So if you like good food at a good price and a lot of it, go to the Chester Diner. I'm pretty sure they have a Greek guy running around somewhere to make it completely authentic. So check out the Chester Diner in Chester, New York. Also like to thank Success Martial Arts. They actually have a martial arts summer camp going on. They provide the latest training offered in Orange County, as well as personal, physical, and teamwork development. You can call them 845-469-1716, 845-469-1716. And, of course, they are in the ShopRite Shopping Plaza in Chester, New York. Also, special thank you to GW's in Chester, New York. Make sure you check out them for they always got great bands, live entertainment. They're also in the ShopRite Plaza. This week, I will be in Franklin, New Jersey at the Irish Cottage Inn, the career taking off as it should be. For tickets, 973-827-2090. What do we got? 1 minute, Frank? 1 minute.
I just want to thank Joe again, and thank you, for all and your comrades for everything you're doing.
It's an honor. It's an honor to serve. Absolutely, without a doubt.
Well, we're all proud of you.
No, Joe, it's actually an honor to have you in here.
Yes, absolutely.
Joe Curry and myself don't agree on a lot of things, but we do agree that we wish there was more that we could do for people like yourself and your brothers and sisters. You guys have been listening to Davin's End. Thank you, guys. I hope you guys got a little something out of this show. It was a pleasure doing this show. Next week, Joe Curry's going to be back in studio. We're going to have Dawn Wheeler in studio, who's a funny lady. We're going to have a good time. We're going to probably do something a little lighter next week, but check out Joe Padula's Facebook page. You guys have been great. If you love us, tell a friend. If you hate us, tell no one. Either way, keep on listening. Have a good night.
Your community radio station since 1969.
From ABC News, I'm Brad Wheelis. President Obama tells ABC News.